Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. It's your host Chris Phenom and Ro here, and we are here to review. I believe this is the seventh attempt at DC trying to do a live action film Aquaman. That's going to be very important to how I talk about this film going forward. I'm not going to read the synopsis on this. You know what it is. I'm just going to jump right out there and say this. I'm going to use this as the jumping off point for when we do this review. I had a lot of people come out and say, oh, the movie's fine. It's okay. It's not that bad. First of all, when you say a movie is not that bad, you're implying that it is actually bad and that it's just not total shit. And so you only got a little shit on the bottom of your shoe. So it's still shitty, but it's not bad total shit. But right.
It's here's, bad here, with a bang.
Right. But here's my basis of this, right? And I'd love to hear my fellow reviewers give their opinion on this. But I have this opinion of this is, if the lead actor in your film cannot actually act, particularly when it's a comic book film, and we applaud actors and actresses who can become their characters, right? Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man. He is Tony Stark, right? Gal Gadot was getting a lot of shit before she came out, and it was like, hey, can she act? Can she pull off being Diana Prince? Can she be Wonder Woman? And she became Wonder Woman. Jason Momoa is not Aquaman. Jason Momoa is cosplaying as Aquaman, cosplaying as Jason Momoa. He has not played anybody but Jason Momoa in just about every fucking film I've seen. So, and that was confirmed to me, because I wasn't even going to be this mad about this on this review, but I had somebody say to me that James Wan even said that their whole idea here was just let Jason be Jason in this. And not to, like, and I find that completely, like, offensive. That you told your lead actor, who's playing the title character in your film, not to, hey, we're going for a combination of, you know, King Arthur and maybe, you know, and Indiana Jones. So I'm throwing some shit out there, right? No, you just told him to be himself. And so what you get is 2 hours and 22 minutes of not Aquaman, but Jason Momoa, Aqua Bro. That's not a good fucking film, guys. It's not a good fucking film. Because your lead actor is not convincing as the title character. And you can read any fucking Aquaman book, and you cannot find the interpretation of Aquaman that Jason Momoa is playing. And if Chadwick Boseman did that for T'Challa, you'd have pitchforks. If Gal Gadot did that for Wonder Woman, you'd have pitchforks.
Oh, we'd have blown shit up.
You blown shit up.
Wouldn't have been no pitchforks.
But somehow, because Jason Momoa is cute and looks hot and shit like that, nobody gives a fuck and thinks it's okay because, you know, well, he'll grow into the role. No, he's not. Jason Momoa has never grown into a role because I watched Conan. I watched Conan the Barbarian. That's Aquaman. That's the character he's playing in Aquaman. What are we doing here, folks? What are we doing? Why am I even... Why are we trying to make excuses? Why are we doing this? We're seven films in. Seven films in. People going, well, I saw somebody say today, well, you know, it's a good start for the... Seven films in. They started with Green Lantern. That film didn't work, so they decided to reboot with Man of Steel. That film didn't really work, so then they decided we're going to do right with BVS. That didn't work, so then it was like Wonder Woman was going to be it. That kind of worked, and then it was Justice League. Now we're here with Aquaman. What the fuck are we doing, folks?
Shazam.
Okay, stop.
This is not going
to
be good.
That's a cuss word right now in my life. Look, I mean, okay, if their point was to say they wanted to let Jason be Jason, I get the logic behind it. A lot of people who are attached to this property have the idea that they needed to man up Aquaman to make him work.
It's and fucking offensive as shit.
I'm going to use some sexist terms. I don't care. Because that's what they were doing. They went for hypermasculinity, and you don't get more than hypermasculinity just looking at him, God bless us all, than Jason Momoa. So if you tell him, embrace the things about your culture that you love, bring it to your character. Embrace the things about yourself that you love, bring it to your character. That's what they asked him to do. He did what he was asked to do. Then they just didn't do anything with him. So this isn't just because they focused on him and wanted to turn this into the Momoa show. Because quite frankly, that part of the movie did not bother me. It was the fact that they didn't ask him to do anything once he was that guy for them. And the people around him didn't do a damn thing.
But that,
this story was stupid.
Well, so a couple things.
Beginning, it was stupid.
Y'all let me know when I can go. I'm going to let y'all
When you talk about his culture, that's one of my problems. It's like, if they had actually embraced his culture, the only thing they embraced about his culture is, well, I guess they're loud. Like him and what's his name?
I said embrace the things about himself that he likes. Embrace the things that he's front forward with he likes. I didn't say they had gone all the way there and like
it would have been
really
great.
Truly gone into that, I'd have been about it. I'd have had no problems with that. But they only gave us the conclusion of all of that, of him, the conclusion. They didn't show us the relationship and dynamic between him and his father and his tattoos. They only mentioned your grandfather would be mad because we haven't finished yours. We need to do that. They did all these little hints about how he became to be the way that he is. But all we got was the culmination of that. And then they didn't do a damn thing. This movie did not need to be a scavenger hunt for the whole damn movie.
You didn't like the throwing in the mummy, Indiana Jones mixed in with whatever the fuck else things, like the whole thing.
I mean, they stole so many elements from so many different styles of action movies.
And then doing
that,
I'm
naming them in the movie while I'm watching with the woman sitting next to me, because the both of us were like, there's only so many times they can play that theme music guitar twang and have him turn and look over his shoulder before I really would you like you to have him do something. He's clearly not stupid, as you demonstrate through the movie, but you have him acting like a dude, bro. He's clearly capable of more and has emotional depth and feelings about shit, but you only like to hint at them every once in a while as you have him fix his mustache and flip his hair. I mean, they did to him what they have done to women in movies as placeholder characters who's supposed to be pretty and everybody's supposed to pivot around them. This movie fails at its core because the people in the story that they want to pivot around the person who they just want to quote unquote be pretty, when he's fully capable of doing more, because you may have only watched Conan, but I've watched The Red Road and Frontier. He can act. He wasn't asked to. He gave them what they asked from him.
Well,
was trash.
That's my question. I was like, I didn't know. I was like, because right now it seems like they just told Jason Momoa to show up on set. Don't even worry about going to hair and makeup. Just walk on the set and just be yourself.
This is what they asked of him. This man can act. He can do far more than he's ever been asked to do in a freaking movie. Far more. And it's annoying. Like, and let's be real, they underutilized Amber Heard. I mean, Mira is a complete and utter badass. We got more of her being a badass than we did of Arthur. But she wasn't that much of an uppity bitch. She was driven. She was focused. She was believed in her convictions. And they acted like she was far more conflicted in this movie than they would have needed to. But everyone they had pivoting around him, it doesn't work because they didn't make up their mind which damn story they wanted to tell.
They didn't know what they wanted to tell him, if he was a hero or they wanted him to be king or what they wanted to do, which made no fucking sense. Because at one point, it's like he's still trying to, they're so connected to Justice League. So it's like, well, he's just learning and he's just getting used to being a hero. But then the story then becomes, well, you need to come and be king of Atlantis, a place you've never been before. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
Okay, for the people who don't have any clear idea, this whole movie is about the fact that Aquaman has a half-brother who's the current king of Atlantis, who wants to unite the kingdoms under the sea to come above and fuck up humans because we have fucked up the ocean.
If you read the comics, it's a New 52 Throne of Atlantis arc,
right?
Which honestly, they took 3 volumes to get to, and it's still 6 issues itself. They crammed into one fucking movie, which is why it seems like there's 3 movies crammed into one.
Right. And they wasted that entire storyline, which in and of itself could have been amazing. But then they also turn around, but they start the movie about where they pick up with where he left off from, like you said, the Justice League. He's going around and defending people and, you know, slowly accepting that he's a public figure who's a superhero. And so they have him stop piracy and introduce a great villain, which you then will be angry and bitter about when you quickly realize the villain is a MacGuffin in this movie. And he does not get utilized properly, even though he's fabulously cast. The scenes and the fight scenes between them are amazing. The dialogue is shit. The story development is shit. And one of the few emotional connections that they have in the movie, they waste. So again, a second series and a second thread from the comics that they pull in, and then they shit the bed in it. And then you turn around and you've got the whole story of his mother and his relationship to Atlantis and the whole king thing. You know, so part of it is got to stop a war that's coming to humans, and that's my home. The other part of it is I'm accepting my role as a superhero. Then the other part of it is oh, my mentor, who was devoted to my mother, played by Willem Dafoe, called Volcor, wants me to come home and challenge for the throne, but I don't trust them niggas, so I'm not gonna go. And that's where you start running into its Thor underwater. But they shit the bed on that too, because then they turn that whole thing into the whole scavenger hunt element. And if you can't do a scavenger hunt movie as well as they did in the movie with Tom Hanks, Da Vinci Code, where they raided that book and destroyed all of this beautiful mystery about, you know, many things. If you can't do your scavenger hunt as well as they did that one and that one, why bother? So it wasn't that they told Jason Momoa to just be Jason. They surrounded him with people who didn't know what the hell to do with the version of Aquaman that they wanted to have. They didn't know what the hell fucking story they wanted. I still am trying to figure out why the hell Nicole Kidman's in Atlanta when you have to, you know, CG her face. And we all know how I feel about her face this year. But nothing worked. Nothing fit. And there's only so much that you could get away with giving, you know, high-impact scenes and high-impact images on the screen and him half naked before I'm just like, why am I here? Why are you still holding me here?
You can look at pictures of Jason Momoa for free. I mean, it's just, I'm serious. If you, and if
hey,
you ever,
I don't
and,
have a problem with and, him and moving. If, and they if can
ever,
have him move.
And, if,
yeah,
you, and if you ever meet him in person, I guarantee you, Jason Momoa seems like the kind of dude that you just ask and will take a shirt off for you. So it's like, why pay to see a 2-hour and 22 fucking minute movie that's this? I'm sorry. Phenom, you have anything to say?
Oh, God, help us all.
Oh, is it my turn? Oh, so you have this national treasure of a little fucking mermaid as Fifth Element fucking movie where somehow it turns into Homer's Odyssey, and yet people are excited to go see this bullshit because, as Chris has already stated, Jason Momoa's shirt will be off and his hair will be flowing like a dreamy wind blowing. And I'm kind of just annoyed at the whole idea that we are putting money behind this bullshit because Jason Momoa is in it. Like, you can't find him any other fucking place. Like, I dare ask, is there a film this year that you think either Chris or I went to see because of a woman's tits? And not to say that films have not been doing this to women for years, but also to say that there's a bit of a bar that should be set somewhere here as far as just supporting shit when there's free shit of him you can get on the internet already. Like, it is aqua porn, and I guess that's okay. And I knew this film was going to be fucking terrible when y'all were passing around that damn Aquaman dance that they did at the press screening. When I saw that shit getting circulated the way it was, and nobody was actually talking about the film, that's a telltale sign that it's a piece of shit. But the real one for us, for me and Chris in this screening area, and I don't know how this is for everybody else, but I know how it is for us. If the cast does a fucking sit and thank you all for coming to see our movie, we hope you enjoy it, like you're shopping at fucking Kmart before the movie starts, it's probably going to be fucking trash. So we open up with this, and I'll say it. I thought it was a badass fight scene with Nicole Kidman.
Let me just say this real quick. I think all of the fight scenes, for the most part, are actually, and I think, again, just like the Bumblebee stuff, that's going to be the thing people look at and go, all right, fine.
Fight scenes are great. I like them.
Yeah. Fight scenes are all great. Probably the best ones they've done.
I didn't think there were enough of them.
You have that, which is a lie, because for the rest of the film, like Rose said earlier, it is a scavenger hunt to find Arthur's sword, which is really a trident. And I don't think that's terrible. in theory. In execution here, it's walking backwards through shit, looking for the door. I don't understand what the fuck this screenplay was before it is, what the fuck we got. And it's trash. Amber Heard, I actually thought her character was fine until she ate a rose. Then I was like, really? She's stupid? Is she's Ariel stupid? And Ariel's pretty fucking stupid if you saw Wreck-It Ralph breaks the internet. Like, if you saw that, then you realize Ariel is the dumb princess of the princesses. And they know that, and they still love her to death. And that's kind of what Amber Heard is supposed to be here with her red hair.
But she's not. Yes. They picked the stupidest thing to try to exemplify the fact that she has no understanding of how the surface world works. They weren't necessarily trying to Ariel her. They thought it would be funny, and they picked something simple.
But that's
supposed to be Ariel. Mira is a badass.
But that's the problem. Because they cram the Throne of Atlantis arc into one fucking film, they do no setup for any of the parts. So you don't get told, it's like, okay, does she know anything about the surface world? Because she obviously knows where Arthur is. So it seems like they have a relationship. You know, we know from the last, from Justice League, that Arthur's kind of sort of been to Atlantis, but then they say he hasn't been to Atlantis. Because she tells him, he's like, well, you've saved us from Steppenwolf. But then later in the film, at one point, Orm and the rest of Atlantis is kind of like, who is this motherfucker? Like, we know he's my brother. Like, they don't explain, like, how does Orm know that that Arthur is his brother? They don't explain any of this shit. They don't do any explanations on any of this stuff. They just do it, and you're supposed to go, okay.
Yes, I get all of that. I watched the same movie, but I am absolutely separating what I'm talking about in this film from anything that comes from any comic, cartoon, or whatever was at play before I sat through this 2-hour and 10 or 20 minute fucking fest of what the fuck. Okay.
I was talking about what was in the movie. Just talking about the movie.
Under the sea,
Chimera.
On Earth, she's Ariel. And I don't know why. I'm surprised they didn't play Kiss the Girl in the scene where they were walking through Italy.
Is this time to talk about the terrible score?
Because spotting for this score. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the score, but they didn't use a damn bit of it correctly. We could talk about the score. Let's talk about the score. I listened to the score in isolation. I was like, okay, there's nothing wrong with this. And then I heard it as it moved through the movie, and it was crap.
Bro, don't do this. Don't do that.
Are we not doing? What?
Trash. That score is, if you took the score from Dr. Dolittle 3 and put it behind a big budget DCEU film, that's exactly what they did. There literally is a falling Looney Tunes bomb sound when Aquaman is falling from the roof in this film. It's terrible. Like, not even is the music terrible. Like, the soundtrack for this is fucking awful. But also the score itself, just the random background music and sounds and choices and boop, boop, doop, doop, boop, boop, doop, doop, boop. Like, at one point, I was expecting a fucking minion to pop out of the sand in this film. The score...
That would have been helpful.
Oh, wow. The score is awful. And
I said when I listened to the score in isolation, because I got the score before I saw the movie. So I listened to it all the way through. I'm like, oh, this isn't that bad. I'm like, I don't understand where this beat would go. I don't understand. So in isolation, the score is not terrible. The second you line it up with the movie, I want to go smack people. It's literally every beat is wrong. Every beat is wrong.
Yeah, but because there are beats that are not, like, when you get the score, they're going to give you the composed music. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about sound effects that they make.
No, I got the actual score.
Does it have the sound effects in it?
Yeah, I heard the track to the movie.
It has the beep, boop, bop of them walking.
Yeah, that's why I was like, the fuck is that for? Why would that even be here?
Why the fuck would you put that on the score?
No, I heard that. I literally heard the track to the movie. And then I heard the score, and I heard what they had in each of the differences. And I was like, I'm deeply confused now.
You cannot tell me that James Wan, a person who deals in horror, and horror relies a lot on the score.
You.
And the
he wasn't in the room.
Thank
he
you.
Wasn't in the room.
Yo, no way you can tell me that this is the way he heard his film.
There's he didn't no, do this.
Thank you for saying this, because that's one of the things that bothered me when I was trying to explain how bad this score was. I'm like, James Wan is a horror director.
A good horror director.
And horror is absolutely relies on scores. I have interviewed composers who compose for horror and talked about the whole process. It is absolutely necessary. When you then see how they do this film, and again, I've talked to Tyler Bates, who did the
score. Composers that are getting Oscar-nominated every fucking year.
So it's like, yo, the way they usually do, it's like, to me, it's just like, there's no way James Wan was in the room when they did the score. It's almost like they did a film, they had one score that James Wan listened to, and then somebody came in after the fact and was like, we don't like what he did here, we're going to rescore the entire film and not run it by him afterwards, because things just do not work.
There's no way in God's green earth that he okayed them playing that damn riff behind Aquaman's character single time he was doing something Aquaman-esque versus Arthur. There's no freaking, and as loud as they played it, there's no way James Wan approved that.
Feel like if this is what they wanted, if they wanted a, because you, Ro, were earlier talking about how they want this hyper-masculine film, and I clearly that's what they did, because the Aquaman jokes, I guess, just hit too damn hard over the years. So they wanted to make sure that you realize Aquaman is a man.
Which is problematic. Can we just say that's also problematic? Like any other, if they had done this with any other fucking film, if they did it with any other fucking film, we would talk about how problematic it is that they went hyper masculine with this shit to prove that, see, he's not gay, and he's not weak, he's not this. They would have been, that we would have roasted any other fucking film, because it's Jason Momoa, we're supposed to let it slide. But okay.
For me, it's like, if that's the, and I don't know who composed this film. I think I looked at the name and I didn't recognize it. But if this is what they wanted to go for, the first person that would have came to mind for me, if this is what you wanted a hardcore rock strongman score. What was Junkie XL doing? Used to come through. He was like, too busy doing Deadpool 3. Working on some other crazy, working with Guillermo del Toro right now on something, just finished up Hellboy or whatever. And I'm not saying he did Hellboy, I'm just saying, like, where was he? Because
it's Rupert Grayson Williams,
this is his type of shit.
They could have just stuck with the Iggy Thump and moved from there, for Christ's sake.
It's so many places in this film where it just goes into why. And also, why do I care? Chris, you mentioned that you didn't. Why do you care about Bumblebee? I could at least see some reason to care about whatever cuteness they were building there. I don't know what the fuck I was supposed to walk away from Aquaman with. Besides needing a hug. Like, the best way I could describe how I felt about Aquaman, if you've seen The Haunting of Hill House, there is a moment, there is a issue with two of the sisters, where one of them thinks that the sister is cheating with her husband. And the explanation that went down for that was basically something of, well, when I touched Aquaman, all I felt after that was nothing, just this abyss of nothing. And I tried to touch Black Panther, but I felt still nothing. And then I tried to touch Guardians of the Galaxy, and I felt fucking nothing. And I went out and I hugged a baby, and I still felt nothing. And somehow it wasn't until my ass was sitting in the theater with Ashley watching Welcome to Marwen that I started to feel shit again. That was old girl's husband. I felt like fucking Theo after I walked out of this movie. I was so burnt out from just annoyance and frustration and a headache. My fucking eyes hurt.
Okay. The composer of this movie just lost all excuse for how he scored this. I just looked up at other movies and scores he's been involved in.
Can we get some names? What's the names?
His name is Rupert Grayson Williams. He's been involved in Hacksaw Ridge, Wonder Woman, Over the Hedge, Zookeeper, Hotel Rwanda.
So he scored serious shit.
The Road to El Dorado, Prince of Thieves, Hannibal, Thunderpants, What a Girl Wants, The Night We Called It a Day, Love and Hate. This bastard.
I don't know what the fuck went happen here. And the whole under the sea stuff, like I know people were worried about what they were going to look like underwater. And I do think that that is something that is going to need to be worked on, because there were some scenes where the guy, I can't remember the actor's name that plays his brother, but
Patrick Wilson,
there's floating scenes with him where he's a bit unbalanced. And I'm like, you should be a bit more, you should be able to finesse through the water. You grew up in the water.
Okay, I just couldn't get over the hyper smoothing of everybody's face. It freaked me out.
Yeah. Oh, so they did that to his father in the beginning too, right? To make him look younger.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That bothered me because his hairline was immaculately permanent marker perfect. And here's my thing with that. I know
that
y'all
wig was trash.
I know y'all want to be Marvel. I know y'all want to do it. Like, you see Sam Jackson's face and coming up in this Captain Marvel film, and you guys at DC are like, WB are like, we can do this. Here's my thing, though. You can't. You have never done it well. Ever. You've never done it well. It always looks bad. And what you need to do is just cast younger versions of the actors. So young actors to come in and play them 20, 30 years ago, and then use Nicole Kidman and the other actor that plays Aquaman's father in this, in the roles that are going to be the main throughout the rest of the film. I don't know who watches these films for this. I feel like they use the same editing tools they use for Henry Cavill's mustache to do the whole aging backwards scenes in this. And I'm about fucking sick of feeling like my 2020 vision is the reason I'm the only one in the theater who seems to have a problem with this terrible looking shit that shouldn't look like this in 2018. It's fucking disgusting. I am over people telling me that films like this, like Chris said earlier, are a fucking starter for what we will get in the next film, because that's definitely something that DC has been consistently doing, providing us progression and upgrades with the next one in the fucking series. Lord knows we never know which fucking one it's going to be, but we're going to get one, right? And it's going to be better. I don't have a problem with Man of Steel. I actually still like Man of Steel. I watch it occasionally. It is slow, but I still think it has some of the best fighting scenes and some of the first scenes of us actually seeing what a DC film should look like live action when they're using their powers. The fact that there have been multiple films since then, which that came out 2013, that have either been fucking terrible or okay. It at this point, it should really boil your fucking blood. It does mine, but I think that people have kind of just settled for this shit. And I also don't believe that y'all rewatch these films. I feel like every time one of y'all says it's not terrible or it's not that bad, or my favorite new word for film ratings now, it's decent. I don't feel like y'all watch these fucking films anymore after it. And that really annoys me because I'm a person who likes to purchase a physical copy of films I love. I'm a person who will still run to Best Buy and cop the steel box, fucking now 4K version of these movies because I want to be able to watch it. But I don't want to watch these films over again.
So here's the thing. There's so much. Now going back to, you know, the Jason Momoa stuff and, you know, him not really being Aquaman, just being Aqua Bro. The only time he doesn't feel stiff and feels like he's actually himself is in the fight scenes. Because the only time he actually has something about him, which makes the fight scenes are fine. I enjoyed them. Like, you know, I've seen some people say there's at least the third act of this film doesn't fall apart like it does in Wonder Woman. I'm like, all right, cool. I mean, I guess that's the bar we're doing here. But like, when you look at the thing that this film does, it tries to do so many other things that other comic book films have done. You know, the Outsider coming to take the throne. That's Black Panther. We had that this year. Two brothers fighting over the crown. That's Thor and Loki. We've seen that all the time. And again, here's the thing. You know, even if you didn't like the first two Thor films, the things that worked in those films were Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston. Like, their interactions together were great. The interaction between Patrick Wilson and Jason Momoa in this film is like, okay, whatever. You don't give a shit.
Patrick Wilson played his brother like he was mad Jason Momoa got the Aquaman part and not him.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah. But here's the thing.
What I got out of it. I was like, I bet you Patrick Wilson was like, I'm more Aquaman than this guy. But because he's big and beautiful and has tattoos and long hair, he gets to be Aquaman.
Well, here's the funny thing. If they had actually used that in the film and let him channel that into this, it would at least give him to something. Would it feel more? But we spend more time with we talk about the fact that they're doing this little scavenger hunt. Yeah, while they're doing the scavenger hunt, Orm's over here trying to unite the other cities, which doesn't make any sense because after he gets the first army, he says he has the biggest army, but then he has to get another army to get the bigger army, but then he has to get another army, so they never it never makes any fucking sense. They just keep him fucking busy over there.
There's really a prophecy, and they didn't freaking develop right. The whole thing. It's right. Like, there's a whole storyline that was for the brother, and they shit the bed on it, too.
Right.
And they would pop back into it, and you're just like, okay, he's still doing this shit?
Right.
But there was a whole prophecy. There was a whole thing, and they just use it as a data dump for Amber Heard's dialogue. Right.
A lot of people
are going to fucking miss what the hell is the point and why she is doing what she's doing in opposition. And let's be real, they did shit the bed on developing their relationship too.
Right.
But
so they
but I'm
they,
telling they, you, it wasn't just like that scavenger hunt should have taken 25 fucking minutes tops.
No, you're right. So that's there. You have the hero that unites the worlds. What'd you say?
I said it definitely took them 20 seconds to get back from the 2-hour scavenger hunt. After that, which I had a huge problem with that, but I was like, you know what? Fuck time and distance, I guess.
Well, at that point, you're already 2 hours and 15 minutes into the fucking film. You got to end it. So you have the hero whose purpose is to unite the two worlds and bring them together. Guess what, guys? You know, you're thinking I'm just comparing this to Marvel. You did that in fucking Wonder Woman. And done better. A superhero son who was raised by a human father and taught to have compassion. I know people, you know, always complain about this in Man of Steel, but Man of Steel also did it better. Like you developed that relationship between Clark and his father. You do. It's there. Here you also, see that Arthur and Tom have a relationship. You see that they're close, but you don't get the sense that you know it's supposed to be that way, but you don't feel that. I think Ro brought this up. There's a point in this film when they almost break character for Arthur and show that he's not just this big dumb dude and is actually really well educated, and he's learned that from his father. And I'm like, geez, you wait until halfway through the film to tell us this. Wouldn't it have been something interesting to keep developing throughout the film? Oh wait, you couldn't do that.
Shit was interesting,
right? You couldn't do that because you had three fucking stories. You crammed three fucking movies worth of stuff. You crammed into one fucking film, so you had to drop the stuff between Arthur and his father to show you that he's actually well educated. That when his mother was taken away from him, his father stepped up and actually taught him not just how to be, you know, a superhero, but how to be like well adjusted in the human world. It's like there's so much that they could have fucking done here, and they didn't do it. And I'm like, hey guys, if it's good enough for you and that's just what you want, fine. But I look at this like we're seven fucking movies in. We're never gonna get them to
stop doing just good enough to restart. Like, people were pissed off about the third act of Wonder Woman shitting the bed because they had done so well. And then we got up to the boss fight, and you could tell that Patty didn't have the budget she needed to do what she wanted to do, and that wasn't her fault. But there's no reason the third act had to shit the bed, and it did. So for you to get to this movie when you already fucking know, if you streamline and dedicate a real origin story, you can go somewhere and have movement and still have a standalone movie, which, as Phenom says, is rewatchable and something you want to own. So the simple fact that they wanted to revert to type and do this shit when they had a director who could pull it off. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what anyone says. They had a damn crew who could do what they needed.
Yaya as Black Manta was awesome.
And they even had a fucking cast that could have done this if they hadn't hamstringed them with all this bullshit.
Yaya as Black Manta was amazing. You had a villain right there who was great. When you get his his origin, it is one of those things that I know people don't you know, from the comics don't like New 52 stuff. The New 52 origin for Black Manta is actually his best, and they take that origin for this movie. And you get that, you get why Black Manta has this hard on for Aquaman.
It was perfect.
And they basically go, and they literally do this in the film. Thank you for your service. We don't need you anymore.
There are points where Black Manta looks like a fucking what is it? Madison Square Garden mascot. That the actor himself was perfect. But when he put that fucking mask on and he shows up as Black Manta, I'm just like, okay, it looks fine from this angle. And then they do it from another angle. And I'm like, oh, now his head looks like a fucking, like one of the things you sit on at a McDonald's playground. Wow, this looks really fucking bad. And also to continue on your wave, Chris, of films they took from, didn't we already get a cool hard rock music video version of King Arthur from Charlie Hunnam?
Yes.
Well, and it sucked too. It sucked too. It also sucked.
Right.
But so, at least the funny parts of that one were actually freaking funny.
Like, there's nothing original about this movie. Nothing. Nothing. And I'm saying that about a film that has years of source material for a character that I think somebody tried to argue might not be that popular, and that's a load of shit.
So thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for reminding me of that. Aquaman is a golden age character from the 1940s. Aquaman, don't sit there and tell me that they had to do this because Aquaman, the general public doesn't know who Aquaman is. You know what the general public doesn't know anything about? Black Panther. To be perfectly fucking honest, no. They didn't. They know less about Black Panther than Aquaman. Why? Aquaman's been a character since the 1940s, been in fucking cartoons, all over the TV and cartoons. Now, you might not like some of the portrayals of those in the cartoons, but he's been there. People know who the fuck Aquaman is, all right? We're not dealing with some third-rate character. We're not dealing with the Guardians of the fucking Galaxy, all right? We're dealing with Aquaman. You don't need to sell people on who Aquaman is, all right? Get the fuck out of here with that shit. I'm tired of these fucking excuses. Stop making the excuses.
Just gonna keep it 100 about this too. Man of Steel got an origin story. Batman has had 50 million origin stories. Wonder Woman got a legit good enough origin story. Suicide Squad got a fucking origin story. Aquaman did not get an origin story. This is not an origin story. He is a kid, and then he is 35 years old. And he goes to the kingdom, and they're like, "You need to be the king."
Well,
that's not an origin story.
Well, that's again going back to the story beats. This is the thing that doesn't make any sense. If you're going to tell me it didn't, you said this when you left the theater with me. You said this film, and I think you even said this to the people taking our opinions of the film when we left, that a film doesn't have an identity. And it doesn't know if it wants to be an origin story. It doesn't want to know what is the theme of the movie. Is it that you need to be a hero? Did you need to be a king? They're like, well, what's greater than a king? A hero. It's like, well, you haven't even let him be a hero yet. Like there's literally the beginning of the film. This is not a spoiler. Literally the beginning of the film when he saves the submarine. He goes and meets his father. His father's like, father sees the news that you know Aquaman saved these people out of the sub. And he goes, oh, you're really doing it. You're really out there trying to be your hero. I told you to do it. And he's still kind of reluctant to do that. So it's like, shouldn't the film be about
those are the scenes that are in the trailer.
Right. And so shouldn't that be what you focus on? It's him learning how to be a hero.
Willem Dafoe fast tracks that by basically saying in the film, he's already two times the hero than the other guy. He's going to be the hero, which I kind of found reluctant to agree with because he opens up the film leaving people to die. I'm like, I get why he did it. I absolutely would have done the same thing, but that's why I ain't a hero.
Why? Heroes don't let people deal with karma and consequence? That's bullshit.
I'm not saying that's bullshit. I'm saying that also is not the hero-esque mentality that we go along with some of these bigger films, especially films.
No, but that's fine. But that's fine. But that should be the theme of the film. But it's not. It's like then you're trying to say, oh yeah, well you need to come and be the king of Atlantis. He knows nothing about Atlantis. Not even like they didn't even go in there on some. Well, yeah, you know.
But then that turns not out to be completely true. Because there were clearly things taught to him by Volko, William Dafoe's character. There was clearly more sequences taught and shot with him at pivotal ages in his life. The edit cuts of what we get are two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what pissed me off. Because my big thing about when you were talking about wanting to buy movies is I don't like having to wait until the DVD or the Blu-ray to see the movie that you should have fucking given me in the movie theater.
But that's
I'm tired of it ending up being a featurette, the actual origin movie of the edits and the extra footage and the things that you cut out that should have been your damn movie. I'm really tired of finding out when I get or I go buy a Blu-ray or I buy a steelcase and I look at all the extra stuff. I'm like, oh, so you actually, y'all did this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decided not to give it to me. There is an origin story that they shot for this movie and it looked like it was good. The scavenger, the pirate on the high seas, the whole superhero thing, that storyline looked like it could have been good. The whole, you know, embrace your heritage and your legacy from your mother, fulfill her greatest wish, that like looked like it could have been good.
Here's the funny
thing. Or just the storyline of his father keeping his promise to his damn mama. All so that's four. We just listed five just in storylines that all could have ended up being a way for them to give us a good movie, and they tried to do all that shit in one movie.
Quick question. Quick question. What is James Wan known for? Like, what genre of film is he known for?
Horror.
Okay, so if you're gonna do things and have something like, let's say, The Trench, which again, those are the creatures you see in the film in the trailer. I'm not giving any spoilers there. Wouldn't you want to take your horror director and make that a bigger part of the fucking movie?
Oh my! Since how you do know, they not? It's that whole "I'm scared to let my movie be dark" thing again. That mm-hmm. DC seems to have a problem with. That's why I said they had a perfect director. They had a more than serviceable cast. We've listed five different storylines where shit could have got real in 30 million different ways, and all given us a great movie from beginning to end. And it could have been dark as fuck.
Can we? I want to say something to be clear here, because you know I think people have gotten confused about what people mean by dark. I don't think it means dark. Serious, because here's the thing: if we're gonna be
serious.
Honest,
it could have been more serious. If we're gonna be honest, had more edge.
If we're gonna be honest, Infinity War is dark. Thanos throws his fucking daughter off of a fucking cliff.
Marvel films have been dark.
He kills half the
universe. Killing motherfuckers by accident. Marvel films have always been
so
and at this time dark as shit. But they find that balance. And the thing that you get with Zack Snyder is people have always had issues with the many variations of dark. That he does too much. The film is actually too dark in tone. And then the film again is actually too dark
and in physical in tone. And visuals.
Actually,
and an intention.
Right. It's too dark in anything that you would see as a shining light. Like there's no beacon of hope in us coming from a source material full of series that full of heroes that are all supposed to be beacons of hope. So that I get, but for some reason, Warner Brothers hears that it's too dark. And they jump all the way into Disney-esque type of...
Yeah, the camp got on my nerves. Every single time they went campy, instead of just letting it fall into the seriousness that it needed to, it got on my nerves.
Because they went campy at the wrong time. You were
talking
terms.
About the one scene where they show Amber Heard, Mira eating a damn rose. Oh. It's because the scene was starting to have too much of a serious beat. Like, you know... They had a serious conversation about you can't judge a place where you've never had experience. And, you know, they had like slight chemistry and romance going on. And then they had to turn around and they camped it up.
Well, and then also, they turned it into an accent. The score and the soundtrack during that scene didn't help either. Because like they went super campy with the then score. Like that's where the score of this film, the soundtrack of this film hurts it. Because, again, maybe that scene would have played better if you didn't have then the super campy score over top of it. Cause then you're just bringing attention to it, and you're like, guys, you ruined it. Maybe it could have worked. Maybe that scene wouldn't have bothered me if you didn't like also just kind of drive home the attention to it with the spotting of the score. It's just,
wanted you to know everything that they were doing was on purpose, and I hate it when movies do that because usually the beats and the things that they want to focus on as funny or any of that, they're all the wrong ones. They're not the ones that the audience identifies with or finds funny or connects to. So they're always wrong.
It's like you don't know. It's like you want to tell a joke, but you have no idea how to do a punchline. And they keep doing it with these films because somebody was like, they're too dark. They're too dark. And I feel like in every meeting, it's the getting our foot out of our mouth, getting our foot out of our asses because it's too damn dark to walk around a meeting of DC and WB. It's unnecessary. And frankly, I'm at the point where everything they seem to do with these films that they claim is better is unnecessary. And then people kind of latch on to that shit. Audiences latch on to that unnecessary shit and try to stand on it as a soapbox when arguing for or in favor of what DC is doing. I don't think they can do this these properties. At this point, I don't think they can do them. I think Wonder Woman was Patty coming in and doing her thing. But I'm sorry. I am actually worried about the next Wonder Woman film, because at the end of the day, it is under the umbrella of Warner Brothers. And I am scared, because they don't ever know what to do the right way when.
Hot take. They don't have any faith in the people who are doing things right, and they always want to stick their hand back in. That's why I don't trust them.
Hot take. Like, Aquaman was a property that there were literally no real expectations for. To be quite honest, Warner Brothers was in a very, and I want you to hear me out on this, because this is going to sound off. Warner Brothers was in a very good position with this film.
I agree with you.
Because they already shit the bed on Batman and Superman, which is what people cared about. And Zack Snyder is unofficial at this point. Aquaman is a major name, but not a major character at the forefront for people. And people had really no high expectations for an Aquaman film at any point. At no point was everybody like, that fucking Aquaman film, no, that's what we're waiting for. So Warner Brothers was in a good ass position with this film, where they could have finally went, hey guys, how about this? How about we pick one storyline and we do character development on our main character, and we go mid-range with it. Little dark, little campy funny, and we see how it works.
You mean use moderation? Moderation?
Maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll work. But what do we have to lose? There's no high expectations. This isn't the brand. Like, this character doesn't represent the brand that the other characters we shit the bed with did. I mean,
they don't view it that way, because they've never looked at these properties that way. So they were never going to take that approach.
Like, and I know, we're like, that's my whole thing. I don't understand why they don't at this point. When Shazam is now what people were looking past Aquaman and going, oh, you know, the Shazam trailer looks interesting, but I don't even know about that shit now.
No, I've seen this Shazam trailer. They've had the same trailer since it came out. And I'm gonna be honest. That shit looks like trash too. I'm sorry, it does.
I am not excited for Shazam. It looks like trash too. I'm completely and utterly dismayed by the casting. I don't want anything. I'm a hate watch that movie. I've already told people I'm a hate watch that movie.
I'm not excited about Shazam. I find it weird that I find it interesting that we have actually made it from Superman to fucking Shazam, given how much of a failure these properties have been, these films have been for WB. Not necessarily financial failure. But they don't have a strong leg in the race in comparison with like what Marvel's doing, but they're up there. They're still getting there. They're still breaking their millions past 600 million and shit. I'm surprised we got to Shazam. That gray area between cocky and fool that they've made it that far. They're just kind of, you know what? We said we were going to do it. We're going to do it. And they're doing it. And I'm like, well, isn't that great? Because y'all are going to continue to move forward despite the fact that you haven't really gone any fucking where. You won't even reestablish your footing. Jesus Christ. Change your shoes. Do something. What the fuck?
Again,
all this money that they wasted on this bullshit. And it should have never gotten to this point. They are X-Men at this point for me. Like, they might be worse. They might be worse than X-Men, because X-Men at least has maybe two films that I can pull out of their property that I can go, I enjoy watching it still, though. And with, I enjoy DC films, but not all the way through. And I really did enjoy Batman versus Superman outside of the quirkiness, because at least for some reason, it felt like it was a continuation of Man of Steel and trying to stay on the same track record. I like Wonder Woman until the third act. I actually even enjoy watching Suicide Squad as just the watch. But like, I'm not proud of any of these fucking films at this point.
I didn't have any expectation for this movie, because there was no reason for Suicide Squad to suck. And as soon as you have that many characters, you all have known information where it's really easy to do damn vignettes.
And,
that,
and let's be honest, the most talented cast they have so far.
So far, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so when they wasted the Enchantress in the first fucking movie and they couldn't bring themselves to have any kind, they didn't use anybody in that movie well. I was like, so we're doing this again. I've always felt that Patty Jenkins and Wonder Woman was a one-off. And I personally think the reason why it was is because they didn't have any respect for the property.
No, absolutely.
And that's the major problem. When they have an expectation or they have a sensibility about the property is when we run into these problems. So they had an expectation about the property for Aquaman. And why? They wanted to, I don't know why, because white people, what you want from me? I don't know. We would have to go in the room and say, what y'all doing? Please stop whiting in our movies.
This is the first time.
Literally, what we would have to stop.
This is one of those times that sexism actually helped. I honestly believe the sexism against Wonder Woman and WB.
Oh my God, like the fact that they had a higher expectation for Aquaman than fucking Wonder Woman just it blows my mind.
But it's also the same thing where you return around where you're saying they've been treating women like a particular way in movies for years. They knew good and damn well Jason Momoa fans are going to go see this movie.
Mm-hmm. And it also, is there another film with Viola Davis and Will Smith in it? Together?
You know what? I don't think so.
Wow. Wow. Like, wow. I mean, everybody else in the film is great. Also on their own as actors and actresses. To really fucking think about that, man. No, there's just a film coming out. There's a film coming out with Will Smith and Viola Davis in it. The two best black crying actors of a generation are gonna be in the same film together, and it's bad.
But they wasted Amanda Waller, and they damn sure wasted him. They wasted both of them.
God, well,
they waste a lot of this cast. This cast is completely wasted. Like. Willem Dafoe is wasted. Patrick Wilson, honestly, is kind of wasted. It's like, you know,
I like that. Yes, he's wasted.
Yeah, he's wasting this film. Tamara Morrison to play Tom Curry is wasted in this film. I mean, he's great. Like everybody's wasted in this film. You waste Black Manta in this film. And honestly, hearing that Jason Momoa can act, they waste Jason Momoa in this film. Because
they wasted
they don't...
everybody on a shit script that they refused to fix. This feels like somebody walked in the room and said, "Oh, this has a lot of opportunities for action and adventure and sequencing." And they're like, "Yeah, let's do it all." And I was like, "What the?" And James is like, "This is what we're doing." All right.
And here's my thing. For people who go, well, it's a good start. They'll fix it later. Why would they?
Even
beyond the who's going to fix it or why would they? How can they? They've already done the search for the ultimate trident that basically gives him all the powers of the sea. They already did that. They wasted. And if anybody's wondering, that's not a spoiler. That's what they tell you.
They show you in the original costume. It's
But think about it. They've already wasted the love triangle dynamic. They already wasted the mentor mentee dynamic. They already wasted the human family story. Now they've set up for there to be the possibility of him being the bridge between the below and the above, but they didn't capitalize on this movie and they didn't even leave it as a thread that could be come back to. And I can't say why or how, because that would be a spoiler, but then the only door that they've left open up is the battle on the high seas and the pirates on the high seas and his enemy, Black Manta, and why he has his issues. So they literally boxed themselves into a corner with how they shit the bed with so many aspects of his backstory and his present life.
And I'm gonna be honest, I still can't see Jason Momoa being King Arthur Curry of the of Atlantis. I still can't see it. I cannot see like he like how is he king? How what are we doing?
I personally feel like they're doing a brains and bronze type of thing, and that they're going to lean on Mira.
They have to
because of how they set up the character.
They're going to have to, because the entire time is just him going badass and chicken six and oh yeah, I'm just a boy. And like, what the fuck? That's not Aquaman. What the fuck are we doing? What are we doing?
Aquaman is
I think they feel like they put enough breadcrumbs in there. And a part of the other reason why I felt like they let him go so far, I guess Cro-Magnon would be the word.
Aquabro.
If we gonna just
Aquabro.
I refuse. I'm not saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call him Jafar. They let him not Jafar.
Jafar is cool, dog. This nigga not cool.
I like Jafar. Who's the idiot from Bell?
Oh, you talking about Nate?
No, from Beauty and the Beast. The one she won't marry.
The Beast.
Gaston.
His name Beast.
His name is Gaston. I don't mean the Beast. I mean Gaston.
His name Beast.
They're two different characters. Don't make me come to your house. I would get on a plane to cut you.
His name Gaston, not Beast Girl.
I'm talking about Gaston, the character Gaston. They went that whole hyper-masculine, bats his test, no one kills like Gaston, no one, and they did all that, but they, I feel like they think they seeded enough little characters through with the scene where he shows he's not a dumbass, with the scene where you see he has a relationship with his father. You see what he does and the decisions that he makes and the moral dilemmas that he faces, which you called not being heroic. All of that shit, I feel like they think they've done enough to give him a emotion arc where they can just bring those in more and more and more, because that's the other thing that's really, really, really sexist is they feel like if you have someone who's all brawn, once you go there, you have to do some slow working to prove that he's not just all, you know, a meathead, because that's kind of the box they put him into with the way they cut this movie. And I don't necessarily believe or feel like that might have been the whole performance that he gave, but that's damn well how they cut this movie.
I don't know. That man looked like he played air guitar on the Trident at one point, and I just like
he probably did.
He looked like he just burst out of a football huddle, and now he's fucking playing air guitar on the Trident.
That's the point I'm saying. I mean, they've always taken those characters where they've had them be hyper masculine and all about the physical. And if they survive longer than the first season, you slowly get to see, oh, he's complicated. He's complex. There's more to him. And I really think that they feel like they gave enough to where they'll be able to do that kind of story arc where a lot of people aren't going to get past the bad score drop-ins, the overuse of the back shots to the turn, the hair over the shoulder, the way, I mean, as much
the
as
slow motion,
water, and I love the man, the he abuse, didn't need to be walking down any fucking waterfalls.
The abuse of slow motion in this film. Just.
Right.
Like, y'all have fun. Y'all have fun believing in Shazam.
Y'all it is absolutely a thirst trap.
Y'all have fun believing in the Joker film coming out. I'm just like the, just like Transformers, I'm done. I'm done. You guys enjoy doing, you know, the DC Universe and Titans. Hey, you know what? I am no longer here. I understand it. People like, well, I'm going to keep saying this. Some people like well-done steak. They have terrible taste, and I'm not going to sit there and tell people that their taste, you know, is good and that it's just your opinion. So I'm like, no, you have terrible taste, but you enjoy. You choke on that fucking dry-ass fucking steak, that dry-ass steak. You drown it, drown it in A1 sauce and do everything you got to do to try to make it seem like it's fucking edible. You can do that with this shit. I'm done. I'm not doing that no more.
I'm agree with you niggas. People who know how to cook fucking steak do not have A1 sauce in their house. Nowhere to be fucking found. There is none.
But that's my thing. It's like, fuck it. I'm going to let people have their taste. You want that? That's fine. But I'm not going to sit there and lie to you and tell you that this film was fucking good. I'm never going to watch this fucking film again. It's 2 hours and 22 fucking minutes. 2 hours and 22 fucking minutes of this shit. And you want me to sit there and watch Aquabro for 2 hours and 20 fucking minutes? No, I don't think so. No, I'm sorry.
Jason Momoa in this movie is absolutely a Republican. Like, as much of a hero as he is, that motherfucker would vote for Trump.
No, he didn't vote at all.
No, he would vote for Trump. Like, he'd come out of the sea for that.
He dead ass wouldn't vote at all.
I'm such a rebel. I feel like Trump would shake shit up.
What's the score on the show?
He wouldn't vote at all if he voted. He'd be too afraid he'd do something wrong.
He's so cool, he would vote.
What would you guys?
Vote for Trump.
All right, whatever. What would you guys give this fucking film? I'm tired of this.
I don't fucking know.
Out of 10, what would you guys give this? Don't everybody speak up at once.
I mean, go along with this film that's clearly about man first. One, I've just never felt so underwhelmed. I've never felt so overwhelmed and underwhelmed at the same time by a film trying its fucking hardest to be the coolest goddamn kid in detention, and all of the DCE films at this point are in detention.
Badass.
So This is I'm closing the year out with a
badass,
a very very firm fuck you,
badass.
Oh wow!
I did not. I wish I had not gone to see it. Like I get it. Like everybody's like, oh, it's fine. It's decent. It's this. That's fine. But this is the seventh film since 2011. They've had 7 years to get this right, and I have never seen a person constantly keep repeat stepping in the same piece of shit. Hey, bro, it's shit over there. Don't walk over there. Whoosh. God damn it.
Yo, anybody else notice that for about, film is 2 hours and 22 minutes. I would say about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Jason Momoa is actually not in costume at all. He's just Jason Momoa in a movie.
Bro, you can't tell me that there was a costume designer for what he was wearing.
Just put Jason Momoa in some pants and a shirt.
Somebody had to pick those jeans.
And we're not.
And I'd like to thank them.
We're not gonna put him in a costume. Oh, you know that costume we put him in for Justice League? We're not even gonna do that. No, we're gonna have that. We just have him running around and regular stuff. So yeah, it's fine. And then we'll put him in the original costume at the end of the movie and call it a day.
I don't know how I feel about this movie. It was pretty. He was fabulously pretty.
Is it,
I don't know, maybe.
Was he 2 hours and 22 minutes of sitting through a film, and was that worth it?
No.
That's bad when you go to see a film and you're like, my focus. I'm going to definitely be eye fucking the shit out of Jason Momoa, and you leave going, that eye fucking wasn't worth it.
Well, let's be real. At that point, I was like, you're not even giving me good shots. I mean, really? You know, three angles for him. He's got a whole body. Show me the rest. I mean, if you're going to give me a thirst trap, give me what I came for. But I don't, it's not, I didn't think it was as bad as you did, honestly, but because I hate to say it, I've still fucking seen worse.
That's not how my fuck yous work. That's not
look,
how they work.
We have discussed how your fuck yous work. I understand.
On how, if the film, film I've seen this year, it's based on what the film put me through.
Okay, the film put you through more and gave you less back than it did me. So I guess I would say a 4.
Yeah, I'm at a 5. Cause I was kind of, you know, like indifferent to Bumblebee. It's like, okay, you know, whatever. And there's decision they made that made me like, I wouldn't have done that. I'd watch Bumblebee 1,000 times more than I watched Aquaman again. I just like, one is 22 minutes shorter, so there's that. You know.
Oh, I can hate watch Aquaman,
but this,
I don't know if I can ever watch Bumblebee again.
I can't hate watch this because to me it'll just lead me to going like I actually have a connection to this. I actually want DC films to do better, and so to me to watch this shit again is just like, why would you make this decision? Why would you waste the Throne of Atlantis arc into one fucking film when that's literally your trilogy right there. Your trilogy is in they did their trilogy in one fucking movie. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
I'd rather just go to PetSmart and stare into an aquarium ball than watch this film ever again or acknowledge that it exists. Because
I think I'm safely going to be able to say that I'm at about a 4. We got a 4, a fuck you, and a 5. Is that what we got out of this?
Yeah, that's good enough. I'm just... Again,
if you can find a way to watch this without the score, do it.
I don't recommend that either, though. But, sure.
I missed the part. Remember the part where we said this is a thirst trap?
There's going to be a bunch of people that hit us up. It's like, yo, I just agree. I enjoy it. Like, listen, here's the thing. If you watch this film and you enjoyed it, don't hit me up about it. I don't care.
That's my thing. Like, I don't care if y'all like these films. If you love Aquaman... Cool, bro. Look, this I want to real quick. This is how in my mind it works with people like films that I don't like. Y'all won. Like, if you like this shit, you win. Because as a person who collects movies and likes to be able to rewatch shit, I have now wasted time watching another film that I never want to watch again. And that actually upsets me. Like, it disappoints me. It hurts my fucking heart. It does. Because when I go to see a film in a theater, I don't go in going, rarely do I go in going, man, I already know this shit going to be fucking awful. I say that, but I go in with a bit of balanced hope that it'll actually turn out to be something I really enjoyed, and I'll enjoy seeing it on TV again. I'll enjoy seeing it pop up on Netflix again, you know, and I'll watch it. I'll be like, oh, shit, I was about to make a sandwich and sit down and be lazy today anyway. Cool, I can watch Aquaman out of this on TV. But I can't do that with these films because I don't want to fucking watch them again. I don't want to see them again. I don't want to buy them. Like, I'm going to walk past this shit in Best Buy when it's on sale, and I'm going to look at the cover and I'll be like, man, I wish this movie was as cool as this fucking cover looks. Like, that's again, I did this with Days of Future Past. I brought it because the fucking cover looked good, realizing later that I'm never going to watch this shit again because this film is goddamn awful.
For me, I expect more from my popcorn movies. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's a popcorn movie. It's supposed to be light. It's supposed to be campy. It's supposed to be fun. But yeah, I agree with all of that. And maybe what I expect, what I want from a popcorn movie is different from what other people expect when they go to a popcorn movie. But I still have a standard and a bar for my thirst trap movies and for my popcorn movies because they're usually the same movies. But this was just a hodgepodge of bullshit that didn't have to be. And again, I told you, anytime I'm sitting in your movie theater and I can completely disconnect from the movie enough to start paying attention to what people around me are doing, to be annoyed that they're talking or putting their feet up and acting like they're in their damn living room, or I'm sitting next to me with a critic who's next to me and we're both naming the movies you stolen shit from and trying to figure out exactly how much of your running sequence came directly out of Mission Impossible and which Mission Impossible did you steal it from? Then this isn't a popcorn movie at that point. It's just gross abuse of film.
The woman in front of us was looking at text messages sent by her husband, pictures of him.
is that why Jay kept saying turn your phone? Like, people kept saying turn your phone off. I couldn't see who it was and what they were doing. Wow.
Yes, like text messages from her husband, random pictures of a big bald doughy white dude. And I'm like, that's got to be her husband because she just keeps flipping through these pictures, which is crazy because literally Jason Momoa is on screen. And this is what you prefer to look at, pictures of this guy who doesn't look anything close, near or around Jason Momoa. I get it, man. Like, if y'all like this shit, if y'all like Venom, if y'all like those movies, that's fine. Like, I'm not an elitist. Because I don't like it. I watch Napoleon Dynamite every time that shit is on my TV. Fucking time. I will stop everything. I will stop.
But let's be real. Venom had his shit together more than this movie storyline.
I don't know. I haven't seen Venom.
You know what?
That's not saying much.
You know what, though?
But it did.
Here's the thing. I'm going to take your word for it because I'm never seeing Venom either.
I'm not going to watch it.
I refuse. At this point, like you said, I watch too many fucking films to sit through a bad one. Like, if I want to watch a bad film, I'll go to watch Netflix. I'm not paying for a bad film. I'm not paying to sit through that shit. I'm not doing that shit no more.
People are going to like this movie. They're going to be super excited about it. They're going to be like, oh, the world building and all the possibilities and the stories. It's fun. And oh my God. Yeah. And
20 years from now, when we finally get a good Aquaman film, then I'll just sit there and tell you, just like I'm going to tell you when we finally get a good X-Men film, when Disney and the deal finally goes through and Feige finally puts the X-Men film out, then I'll go and say, this is what I was talking about. I told you so.
But in that situation, Chris, they still won because they enjoyed and were able to enjoy 20, 30, maybe even 40 years before you, an X-Men franchise.
This is why I say no, because I remember the disappointment people finally got when they finally got those last two Transformers films. All of a sudden it was like, why am I doing this? Where did this happen? And I'm like, you've been doing this for a while.
But you say that, and some of those same people still paid to go see Bumblebee.
Yeah, but hey, you know what? That's on them. I'm done. Like, if you really enjoyed this film, and somehow you're just like, oh, you guys are wrong. You're being too hard. I was told I was nitpicking the film because I said Jason Momoa's Aquaman is unrecognizable from any Aquaman. And again, me and Deep Palmer have read tons of Aquaman over the last few weeks to do these character corners. You cannot find Jason Momoa's Aquaman in any fucking Aquaman book you have ever read. And when I brought that up, somebody told me I was nitpicking. So you know what? I'm done. You guys, y'all, you know what? I'm off here. Y'all won. Y'all won. Y'all won.
Wait.
Y'all won.
Wait. Nitpicking?
Y'all won.
Nitpicking?
Y'all won.
To say that they didn't have their character go and look at any of the source material to build his portrayal? That they actually told him not to?
Never mind the fact that if it was any other character, if Gal Gadot had done this and it had been in channel Legally Blonde for her fucking portrayal of Wonder Woman, people would have bit her fucking head off.
But take it further. Take it to an actual factual with this one. Y'all still mad about Luke Skywalker? Y'all still mad about this shit?
I'm sorry. People who are mad about what happened to Luke Skywalker don't know their fucking canon, and they can go kiss him.
Those are the people that are probably telling you it's cool that they got this Aquaman.
I'm like, whatever.
I went offline, and now I'm really glad I did. If this is the crap that's been being said,
there are people who are like cool with this Aquaman that were bitching, moaning, and crying about Luke Skywalker, and still to this day do it on YouTube. Whenever you can go watch random movie review videos and stuff, or anything comic book culture related, or comic book movie culture related, and you will hear a reference to in that fucking Last Jedi film. What they did to Skywalker, like you hear it all the time. They're still mad about that, but this is acceptable for an Aquaman film.
Y'all won.
No, I need y'all to stop sounding like that fool.
Get this 1 out of 10 offsets. Y'all won.
Oh damn.
Y'all won.
See, I just ask you not to sound like him, and then you just gonna go and say his name?
Anyway, folks. Again, hey, you know what? I'm gonna say it again. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. The joy, love, and peace from the MTR Network and Movie Trailer Review Podcast.
And all our deep and abiding bitterness that DC won't get its shit together. Yeah,
you know what? Take your family to go watch Aquaman. You guys will love it and enjoy it. Just don't tell me fucking about it. I'm done. I'm good. And you know what? Good luck on Shazam. I know some of y'all really believe in that film. Good luck.
I just don't have any expectation for it. Like, I look at it and I go, not annoyed by the trailer, but wow, do you think this is the one that will save you?
I'm deeply annoyed by the trailer. I'm deeply annoyed by everything about that entire concept.
Hey, you know
you holding out hope on Shazam, peace be unto you.
Happy holidays.
Light a candle.
Happy holidays, guys. Love, peace, and joy. Thank you guys very much. Talk to you later. Until next time, we're out of here. Peace.